Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, and welcome to yet another episode of the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Nathaniel Dunlap, and also sitting here at the PRF Table is Shatara Sherwood, which is one of our gracious hosts. I'll bring her on in a minute. But tonight we're going to be talking from our last subject of this credit and debt series. We're going to be talking tonight from the subject of good debt versus bad debt. And so if you've been with us over these last couple of weeks, I hope you have enjoyed what we have discussed so far. I hope God has spoken to you in some way, shape, or form, not just to hear good things about what we've been talking about or what God has been saying through us, but also what is it that you need to do to help your credit and debt situation. I do believe that we've talked about it in length, that as we talk about credit and debt, and specifically debt, which is what we've been focusing more so on this month, that it doesn't have to be one of those situations where you're already in debt and now you're just trying to find a way to get out. We want to believe that there are plenty of opportunities that God has placed before all of us when things are going well, that we should still be looking into what does God say about how does he want us to handle debt? What does God say about how we should be reviewing or viewing our credit situations? This thing is not about being always reactive. It's also about being proactive, and I think Shatara, we did a pretty good job of communicating both sides of the coin. So with that, again, let me introduce Shatara Sherwood, one of the hosts of the PRF Table. Shatara, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm tired, to be honest with you, but I'm doing well.
That's all right. That's all right.
Handling God's business is not a easy task, and it does leave us tired sometimes, but we do know what the task is at hand, so we're just going to get with it. All right, so what I did, I put a couple of questions out on the Blog Talk page and also on the Facebook page, and one of the questions is, do you see debt as God sees it or only as the financial sector sees it? And another question that was posted out there is, what is your understanding of what people are calling good debt and what people are calling bad debt? And just from those two questions alone, with the second one, I will say, if you don't understand what you consider to be a bad debt and what you consider to be a good debt, then that speaks volumes to me. Because if somebody is holding on to something and they say this is a good debt and it's really a bad debt and it's really messing them up really, really bad, but they think it's a good debt, that's a problem. Because it's going to have an effect on their lives later on down the road, or it may be that thing that's messing them up right now, so to speak.
Right.
And to the first question, do you see God as God sees it or only as the financial sector sees it? And as we get into the show, Shatara, that becomes a very valid question, in my opinion, because as believers specifically, if we don't have a clue, and I know I use the word we, but if we don't have a clue in my church, in my family, in my community, I ain't going all across the state, I ain't going all around the country, and I ain't going around the world. In those three particular areas, if I don't have a understanding, some understanding of how God sees debt, and is always only about how the financial sector sees it, then which way am I going to lean towards for my decision-making? Which way am I going to lean towards for making certain decisions because somebody in the financial sector says it. And I'll put it out there up front. We are not financial planners. Yes, I've taught the Army Financial Management course for years. Yes, I've led that whole program. But at the same time, I'm not your financial advisor. I'm not the one who is looking at all of your bills and how much income. You have to be open to be able to do that. So right now, we're just trying to capture people's attention, for the most part, who have the willingness to listen, the willingness to be able to hear what God wants to say to them and what his word actually says about certain situations of credit and debt. So with that, Shatara, let me turn it over to you and see if there's anything that you wanted to contribute from those first 2 points before we get started.
Well, I think just to expound on what you said about the first question, which is do you see debt as God sees it, or only as the financial sector sees it? I mean, that question, if we ask ourselves that question, that is major in, you know, the foundation and actually your financial stance, I think. Because based on how you see debt, that will dictate status as far as debt, your financial status as far as debt overtaking you, or you having a healthy understanding of debt and your finances and how you manage it. So I think, you know, that's a foundational question that is major for all of us to sit down and ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody needs to take a minute and ask themselves that question. Because the answer to that question, the real answer to that question, and you know, oftentimes when we answer the questions out loud in a forum or in a group of people or to just one other person, we say what sounds mm-hmm. nice. And I'm going to say we a lot. I always say we because even if it's not me, I know at least one person. I'm going to say at least one person in my circle that this may relate to. So we say what sounds right or what we think sounds right, and it's not necessarily mm-hmm. the truth. It's not necessarily the truth, but when you're sitting by yourself and you're asking yourself the question, you can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to God. So you ask yourself that question and give yourself an honest answer, and that, whatever that answer is to that question, will explain what your financial situation is or your debt situation or your whatever situation mm-hmm. is as far as the financial sector or your income or your how you manage your finances.
And I'm glad you said it about that first question being foundational. Because whenever, and I hope and I pray that we have communicated this through the other shows or it's been received as such, but whenever we're dealing with matters of credit and debt specifically, out of all the lessons, when we're dealing with matters of credit and debt, there has to be a starting place. There has to be a starting point for the person to say, okay, this is where I'm at. And if you understand where your starting point is, which my starting point may not be where your starting point is. So for me to sit down at the table with you, with somebody teaching PRF to both of us, and they automatically start talking about, okay, the first thing you need to do is check your credit scores. Person may not know how to read. Person may not know what to do when they get the credit score. People may not know how to use a computer in order to do it on annualcreditreport.com. So now we already have a problem, and it may not be displayed as a problem until later on. And I don't know if you remember, I think it was back in March, and we were doing this the PRF overview at a church, and that was when it hit me, because as I was going through the God's ownership lesson, I was wondering why one of the people was not really participate in. I said, okay, well, let's take out worksheet number A or worksheet A, and let's go ahead and write down blah, blah, blah. And they really didn't want to participate. And, you know, sometimes people don't want to participate, but the reason this person didn't participate was because they couldn't read. What they said to me was, well, you know, I had diabetes and, you know, I don't have my glasses. The person they came with was a relative and told me that the person couldn't read. All right, well, don't worry about it, Mr. Such and Such. You tell me what it is. I'll go ahead and write it down. So that was an eye-opener for us here at PRF, that everybody's not on the same level. So we can't always go to come to the table, if you will, with this foundational understanding of what my foundation is and what yours is and think that we're going to get somewhere. Because
right.
if you're on step three and I'm on step one, normally you're not trying to wait until I get step two and then get to step three because your time is valuable and you're like, okay, look, I'm at step three. I ain't got an hour, number the hour for this, so let's go ahead and get it cranking.
Right.
But when we talk about the we factor, that's where we really is important. How do we help others along this journey? And that's one of the goals that we're trying to do here at the PRF table. So
To add to that, we have to be conscious that part of this walk, this journey in Christ is that you help your brother. So you can't have the mindset. I mean, and I know there may be times where you are pressed for time and you may not be on the same foundation. No level, but you have to be willing to help that next person along too because you're at step three and I'm at step one, well, maybe you have what I need to get to step three. Maybe you can break
That's
it down
right.
for me to get me to step three. So we also have to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, we need to move forward together, like everybody.
Right.
You bring as many people with you as you move forward, and then we have a greater impact that way. But there is a greater impact that way if you're bringing people with you because an individual can't touch as many people as five people who are on the same page. Now, we may not be on the same foundational level, but if you're pulling me forward as I'm pulling somebody else forward and then that person is pulling somebody else forward, that's how you advance. That's how you bring everybody, you know, forward, like I said. So.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to think about that. I understand that everybody's not on the same starting line, but we also
right.
have to be willing to help people get forward, help people advance as you advance, is what I'm trying to say.
That's good. And on that second question, you know, what is your understanding of what people are calling good debt and bad debt? I'm thinking about that question just from where we started off this morning. And I think that drives people to some of their decisions. And we don't want people making decisions uninformed. We don't want people that particular question goes into, I guess, the third question, which is, how does knowing the difference between good and bad debt affect you now and in the future? If I don't understand what good and bad debt is, if I don't know that there is a difference, some people just have debt and don't have any. All they want to do is just get out of debt, Shatar.
Right.
That's it. Some people, if I went to a place, and we went to a place to teach, and we asked them the fourth question, how much good debt and how much bad debt do you have? I want to believe that some of those individuals there are not going to care that it's bad debt or good debt,
right.
depending on how much debt they're in, depending on
right.
going to that fourth question, how is it affecting them? So you can hear people talk on in the financial sector, in financial management classes, on the internet, on Facebook, you can hear people saying, good debt is this. This is the type of debt that you want. And then you'll hear other folks saying, bad debt is this. This is the type of debt that you don't want to have. But for me, for us, the question is, what does God say about the debt?
Right.
How does God view the debt? You can get some of that answer from the Word of God by looking at situations of how God characterized debt within certain contexts. But then we also have to rely on the Holy Spirit in our decision making. So for me, just going through this whole process of transformation, I'm looking at, can a changed perspective and a changed spirit about good and bad debt transform your present and transform your future condition? I know that's not an open-ended question. I will say the answer is yes. Yes, a changed perspective, and yes, a changed spirit about good debt and about bad debt definitely have the ability to transform my present situation and my financial condition for the future. Because if I go back to what you said and I looked at the foundation of it, and I'm asking the hard question, and if I ask the hard question about how does God see it, then I'm now building, allowing myself and allowing God and the Spirit of God to be able to build upon that and be able to say, okay, what they had here was bad debt. Okay, well, now I understand why they were in the type of debt situation that they were in. Or this didn't start off as a bad debt. This couldn't have been a bad debt because of how it was acquired. But somehow something happened in here. And so I don't hear anybody talking about it. Maybe I need to coin this, trademark it, copyright it, register it or something. But I don't hear anybody talking about the transition of debt between good and bad. And I say good and bad in quotations, right? So nobody talks about how a debt started off good and then wind up being a bad debt because of circumstances. Right. And so I think in that middle piece is where a lot of people can get freedom and get understanding, because they can, because again, if you listen to what somebody says, well, that's a bad debt, then the question is, well, you probably shouldn't have got that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example. Remember I talked about a minister who wanted to purchase a house. And they mentioned that if they say, God, if they ask me for one more thing, then I know that that's not you. Now, this house that they were going to buy, you can't say that that was a bad debt off the jump. Good interest rate, wasn't paying too much for the house. So it wasn't like they were paying more for the house than what it was worth. But what about when they asked that simple question and God gave them the response? And then they went on and purchased it anyway. Even if they had equity in the house, was it a good debt or was it a bad debt? When the person started going through financial problems, when the adjustable rate mortgages started to hit, and all of a sudden the house note of, and I'm just throwing out a number, a house note of $1,200 per month now went up to $1,800 per month. And then immediately after that, not a year later, but maybe 6 months after that, it went up to $2,200 a month. Now all of a sudden there's strife. Now all of a sudden there's guilt. Now all of a sudden there's shame. Now all of a sudden there's pride. Now all of a sudden there's the issue of what's going on in the marriage, because don't make enough money to pay the bills. And so now all that that person was thinking about is, this is a bad debt. But was it really a bad debt, or did it turn into a bad debt? Did it turn into a bad debt as soon as that person said no to what God had sent down as a message from him, that that was not the house for them? You got any comments to talk?
Well, I was going to say that leading from question one, you have the foundation. If we develop, the older people or adult, legal, however you want to put it, people develop the foundation. If we don't have it and we get it, and this is something that can be taught to mm-hmm. the generations that are coming behind us. And if they develop that that foundation early in the following generation, it'll be clearer to them from that point of responsibility what a good debt and a bad debt is. So certainly hearing from God and listening for his voice on your decisions, all decisions, financial, you know, every aspect of life, is important. It's very important. And then when you hear him, you ask him to let you know if this is a good decision or a good purchase in that situation. And he tells you, then you kind of have a responsibility to listen. And if you don't, you're prepared for the consequences. I mean, and it's hard to prepare for disobedience, for what comes from disobedience. But that foundation is there. Then I think the understanding of good versus bad and how God sees all of that is a clearer picture for the for those coming behind, the following generation. But certainly, when you make a decision, even if it's a decision from God that does that you're being obedient to, doesn't mean that there won't be challenges from that decision. Now, there may
That's
be,
right.
I mean, you can be obedient to God and still have the challenge. That's one thing that I wanted to bring up, too, in that. But, again, you have to be listening for that voice, for the direction. So I totally agree that a good debt can very easily become a bad debt, and given the right circumstance.
Right.
And vice versa. And
that's
and
right.
And vice versa. So a bad debt can become a good debt if managed correctly. So.
And one of the things that you said just now that I picked up on was that was key was about the understanding of what it is. And for those who were not with us on week three, last week's show was re-understanding debt. And I told everybody last week, I know you were on vacation, but I told everybody last week that I didn't want to bring that up as the title for the first show or what the whole month was going to be about. But in the big scheme of things, that's what this whole month is really about. We just touched on some things and touched on the understanding piece on week three, because I was really led that we didn't need to come into this hot topic, if you will, talking about somebody needs to re-understand debt, because we don't know what a person knows at that particular time. And so by having other shows and talking about it from a different perspective, just getting down to, okay, what's this out there? You know, what's the pink elephant in the room, you know? What's the booger on the nose, on the tip of the nose? You know, what's the spinach in the teeth? You know, that thing that you know is there, you see it, it doesn't look good. Sometimes you just don't want to say nothing to anybody because, you know, they may be offended at how you say it to them, or they may be offended or embarrassed that they have this piece of spinach in their teeth and they're supposed to be so handsome and so fine. You see what I'm saying? So that's what we're getting at. That's what we're focusing on is re-understanding. And if I had to put it in a different perspective for tonight, when we're looking at re-understanding debt, we came from Proverbs and we talked about wisdom and we talked about knowledge. We talked about understanding. And so what we're looking at for tonight is there's two different ways of re-understanding debt. I don't know anything other than these two. And if there's anybody out there that has anything, please share it. But I think re-understanding debt from the angle of the financial sector is one, and then re-understanding debt from the godly perspective. And I think that's what we did the first couple of weeks. We focused on Deuteronomy, right? We focused on Nehemiah chapter 5. We focused on Proverbs. We focused on, okay, let's look at what God says about it. And that really was the foundational way that you were just mentioning without even knowing it, Shatar. Because we all come to the table with something different. We come with different debts. We come to different understandings of credit. So why not start with a place where there is no disputing? There's no disputing what happened in Nehemiah chapter 5. When we go to it, and it says, about this time, some of the men of the and their wives raised a cry of protest against their fellow Jews. They were saying, we have such large families, we need more food to survive. Others said, we've mortgaged our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get food during the famine. And others said, we had to borrow money on our fields and our vineyards to pay our taxes. So there was two different reasons of why people went into debt. One was just to survive, and the other one because there was an obligation that the government had placed upon them that they had to pay. Some folk, because they don't have a tax problem, won't see that as a positive thing. They'll say, well, go, you mortgaged your field, you mortgaged your vineyards to pay taxes? I can tell you like this. There's some people that pay taxes along the way throughout the year. And there's some people that pay their taxes, they have a small amount of money coming out of their check, and then wind up having to pay a big lump sum at the end of the year when the tax year is up. And there are some people that work in certain jobs in the contracting world that have to pay their own self-employment tax. Some people pay it every quarter. Some people say, I'll wait and see after I do all my deductions for my expenses. Let me see what's going to happen at the end of the year. And I know for a fact some people get their heads crushed because they say, oh, my goodness, I have to pay $12,000 in taxes at one time. Yep. So for that person who does that, because that's something that happens in today's time, especially since a lot of people have gone overseas after 9/11 hit and made a lot of money. So for that individual, somebody may not give them too much leeway. Look, you made all this money. You should have been putting it away as you were making it. You should have been paying it as you've gone. And now you got to put yourself into debt because of that? Yeah, that's a real-life situation. But somebody probably won't have too much sympathy for that person. But for the person who did it because it was a famine in the land, they may get a little more leeway, right? It may seem like it's a little more acceptable because, well, that's not anything that you had to do with. It wasn't your fault that there was a famine in the land. It wasn't your fault that a tornado came in and tore up Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It wasn't your fault that a tsunami hit or a natural disaster. But it's not for us to be the judge.
Sure.
Because we really don't know why that situation actually came into be, which is why we have to have those type of conversations and sitting down at the table with folks to be able to understand what's going on. And so, on the one side of the coin, you have the godly perspective and seeing what God is speaking. And then on the other side of the coin, you have the financial sector. What the financial sector is saying is a good debt. What the financial sector is saying is a bad debt. And then another concept, which I'm going to try to hold it probably until next month and incorporate that in our series for the month of July. But let's just deal with this thing about bad debt. Up what a bad debt was, and I looked it up in the financial dictionary. Debt from a credit sale that a creditor is unable to collect. Debt becomes bad debt when a creditor has made all reasonable efforts to collect debt but has been able to do so. Often this occurs when a debtor declares bankruptcy or when pursuing collection attempts. Further will cost more than the debt itself. A company writes off a bad debt as an expense, which reduces their taxable income. However, it also deprives the company of a cash flow that is ultimately necessary to keep itself in business. So that's out of a financial dictionary. Who is that relating to, though? It's relating to the creditor.
Right.
It's about what the creditor has lost. It's not about what the individual debtor has lost. It's not about what the individual debtor is experiencing. So what is the financial sector looking at? I gave you some money. You can't pay it. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to use money from other places to flow my business, to keep my business afloat. Because you, sir, you, ma'am, you group of people, whoever you are, did not take care of your business and are not giving me the money as you agreed to do.
Right.
And what I can't see, what I can't understand, or what I can't come to grips with is that when we talk about bad debt, that there is supposed to be an exclusion of the individual debtor. I want to believe that when there's a bad debt situation, that God is concerned about the debtor just as well as the creditor. Okay, so if you take it back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, it was what it was. I mean, excuse me, Nehemiah chapter 5. It was what it was. They mortgaged their fields, their vineyards, their homes so that they can get food during the famine. That's what it was. So there's a mortgage out there. Understandable in my mind. The ones who had to borrow money on their fields and in the vineyards to pay the taxes, understandable in my mind. A lot of us don't like paying, a lot of people I would estimate don't like to pay taxes, especially if the taxes are not being used in the most appropriate way according to how they believe. But yet and still, in this country, you got to pay it. But to mortgage a field, that just seems a little harsh, but I understand, hey, you don't have it. I don't know what they did or why they didn't have the money to pay their taxes, but they did. Maybe it has something to do with the famine in the land. If there was no food, then maybe there was no food because there was no food grown. Don't know that. But the thing that I am able to capture from this is, and they said, we belong to the same family as those who are wealthy, and our children are just like theirs. Something is wrong with that picture when we must sell our children into slavery just to get enough money to live. And then they talk about how they sold their daughters into slavery, and they're helpless to do anything about it. And what they have mortgaged, in addition to that, mortgaged in their land, it already belongs to them as well. So they don't have anything. And so I can't see how God is not concerned about those individuals. I do see that he is concerned about them, because in verse 6 it says, when I heard their complaints, I was very angry. Well, this is not God talking. This is the prophet Nehemiah. After thinking over, he spoke out. So God used somebody to speak out against them, say, look, what y'all doing is not right. So the issue was not about them mortgaging their property. The issue was not about them mortgaging their vineyards and their homes and their fields. The issue, the real deal issue, was the interest. That's what the issue was. And the fact that, not that they just charged interest, because God allowed for them to do that back in Deuteronomy. The issue was, you're doing it to your own people. You're hurting your own people. Taking advantage of your own kind. And as I mentioned before, God's plan was not that his people abused each other. It's okay to lend to your brother and your sister, and there's only going to be a window that you have to do that and hold them into bondage, which is only 7 years. And then you'd be able to let them come out of it so we can keep this thing going. But evidently, that's not, they got away from what God had put in place, we'll say, many, many, many chapters ago when they first got started on this journey.
Right.
So, again, God looks at the debtor. He's not looking at it like the financial sector. When a person gets a call from a bill collector saying that this bill is in collection, you may get some nice ones. You may get some Christ-spirited individuals every now and then. But when I had debt collectors calling me in my past, most of them did not fit that type of bill. They did not care if I was unemployed. They did not care if I had less hours. They did not care if I had a breakdown in my car and I didn't have a savings. All they were doing was trying to collect the money for the debtor. So what that speaks to is, again, being involved maybe with the wrong people. I would rather be in debt to you, Shatara, because I know that if something happens in my life and I say, you know what, I know I'm supposed to pay you back on the first, but I had to do X, Y, and Z. It's an emergency. It just happened 2 days ago, and I know I got 3 days before the first. I want to believe that you're going to be able to say with the Spirit of Christ, okay, I understand. I know you're not trying to take advantage of me. I know you're not feeding me a bunch of bullcrap. And if you really, really needed it, right, if you really, really was expecting it, then I'm going to want to believe that you're going to be like, okay, God, now you know I was expecting that money to do X. Now that money ain't coming, I still got an obligation to take care of X. Lord, I need you to help me. And then I'm going to want to believe that God is going to send somebody to help you in that situation. And maybe that's going to be your opportunity as a creditor showing grace to me as a debtor, that you go to somebody else and you get that same grace.
Right.
I think there's a flow to how this thing is supposed to work. But God doesn't look at debts like we look at debts. And as people look at debts when they're in these bad situations, I looked at the way that the IRS looks at bad debts. And IRS says that there are two kinds of bad debts, business and non-business. Generally, a business bad debt is one that comes from operating your trade or your business, and you can deduct it on your business income tax. So they give some examples of business bad debts: loans to clients and suppliers, credit sales to customers, or business loan guarantees. None of those things have anything to do with the other person. They only have to do with you as the individual business that have provided that loan to somebody else. How many times have you heard this? The Lord God hates the sin but loves the sinner. So if he hates the sin and loves the sinner, why would he take sides over the debtor, or excuse me, for the creditor over the debtor? But this financial sector, it puts into place, it's built in there, that the creditor is the one that's looked at first. And so the debtor may get some help and some relief, such as bankruptcy, which I thank God we've never had to use, but I know plenty of people that have. And I thank God that that relief is there. But what is that relief for? It's reactive. It's not a proactive measure.
Mm-hmm.
And the bleeding doesn't automatically stop. The negative credit doesn't automatically get cleared up. So there's even still a process that has to go on. So that, for me, again, that goes back to us walking with people, helping people to understand that there's some differences out there. So, what's your thoughts, Shatara?
Well, I just what stuck out to me in what you just said was the proactive approach, and that is because of course the world is about the function of the world and the financial stability of the world, meaning the creditors, because the debtor is an individual. The creditors are usually multiple people. So they're concerned about this business. If it goes down because you didn't pay your debt, then it's going to have a greater impact than you know, one individual being bankrupt. But we don't think that way. One, as individuals and as Christians, you don't think that way as one, because God, you know, rejoices over one soul. Heaven, all of heaven rejoices over one soul that comes to Christ. So one is major. So if we're proactive in that approach, meaning before they get to the crisis period, meaning this foundation is set. There's an understanding of the foundation. There's an understanding of the good and the bad debt. And we see that hiccup, whatever it may be, in that person's life that has thrown them off and they can't make the payment, or, you know, they're having trouble and they won't be able to make a few payments. Then there are, if we see that at that point and are proactively addressing that issue, then we won't get to the point of the bad debt, so to speak. So I think it is, you know, the proactive approach is also key in these in this perspective of debt, good versus bad debt. I mean, being proactive means knowing your limitations, knowing your resources as well. And I know I'm taking this someplace else, but that's the only thing I want to say, knowing this. And then, lastly, being willing to be a resource. So I think that all feeds into the being proactive, you know, in keeping the debtor lifted up. You know, and like I said earlier, bringing everybody with you as you go. So you see that debtor having trouble, and you're the resource maybe, and you have information or the actual resource or that individual needs, or that company, because, you know, it could be a company that you see that is the debtor too, although mostly they're creditors, but it can be a company that's the debtor. If you have that resource, then, you know, be proactive with it. Share the information. Be open and willing to share it. So proactivity is very important.
You know, when I continue to go and look at how bad debt is characterized in the financial sector, they use words like worthless. And think about that. A person that's not able to pay their just debts, and I'm not advocating at all that that's what people should do, you know, not pay their debts. But the person who's in that situation that can't do it, person that's in that situation that lost their job, has been unemployed for 2 years, made some bad decisions, got in over their head, whatever it is. When don't you know that people sometimes feel worthless because of their debt situations? So I'm looking at the language of how they're not saying that the people are worthless on the financial sector. I'm not saying that at all. But that particular debt is now worthless.
Right.
And the only reason that debt is worthless is because the person has no reasonable expectation of getting paid back.
Right.
So they've made a determination when they say, okay, this is a bad debt, that I'm not going to get my money back from X. I've made my reasonable attempts, but I have no expectation that it's going to get. And what happens is, those individuals have their own rules of how long of an expectation or how long of an attempt that they're going to go for. Somebody reasonable expectation may be 60 days. Somebody else may be 90 days. Somebody else's may only be 60 days because the end of the year is coming and they want to go ahead and get that debt so that they can claim that as a bad debt on their corporate taxes for the next year,
mm-hmm.
versus taking it into the next calendar year and not being able to take a deduction off of that. So there's these understandings that the financial sector have that a lot of people
right.
don't have. And the real fact of the matter is when you don't understand or I don't understand or whoever does not understand the perspective of the financial sector and then want to go and apply the principles of the godly sector, it doesn't match
right.
up.
Right. Very true.
It doesn't match up. So much of what goes on in the debt and credit world is not the way God intended it for it to be.
Right.
Don't seem like they operate in the same principles. Not all of them,
right.
but some of them. So that's where the biggest issue is. Not that the financial sector is the bad guy. It's maybe we're operating or this person or this individual is operating off of a different perspective than the creditor is.
Right.
Which goes back to why I said, if they would have, going back to Nehemiah 5, if they just would have kept doing and operating with debts and credit the way God has said, this is how I want y'all to act when y'all get in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I want y'all to keep all these commandments. And his judgments and ordinances and statutes. I want y'all to keep doing this for generations because I've given you this land, which is supposed to last you for generations.
Uh-huh.
That's what God said. So that means you keep doing it the way I'm telling you to do it. And y'all going to be all right. Y'all going to be better than all right. Y'all going to be good. So that's some of what we can kind of see. This, you talked about the consequences. What we're seeing in Nehemiah chapter 5 is more of the consequences for how they did, how they acted, how they behaved, how they lived, how they were cultured with this thing with debt. Nobody was supposed to be oppressing anybody. They weren't supposed to be oppressing their brothers and their sisters.
Right.
So let's look at this last thing, because I know we're not going to be on for 2 hours tonight. I want to just throw out some characteristics, if you will, between good debt and bad debt. And hopefully by putting out these characteristics, it goes back to what you said at the beginning, setting a foundation for understanding. So when you think about good debt, again, that's not going to be the starting point because it's going to be relative to everybody. But when you get to that point, when you're able to have these conversations, or if PRF, if we're working with you, then we get to this particular point and we say, okay, let's talk about the type of debts that you have. And we have to be willing to be open and honest about the type of debts that we have. And that is one of the challenges in itself. Not impossible, not an impossibility. It's just a challenge. So that means let's go ahead and write out all of the debts that I have. Some people don't know how to characterize debt. They just know I have bills. Well, when we're talking about debt, I have to pay a light bill every month. That's a bill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's not considered a debt. On the financial sector, it's a bill.
Right.
But when we talk about debt, we're talking about, okay, let's talk about credit cards, things that you had to go to somebody and say, I want something from you, and I want you to give it to me right now.
Right.
Or I want something from you, and I want you to give me the money to be able to go and get this thing right now. Your light bill, your electric bill, you use it, and then they charge you for it. Cable bill, use it, they charge you for it, some cases. So if I got to ask somebody for something, if I got to go to you as Visa or MasterCard or American Express, they're not making me do that. I'm doing that. So I go to them and I ask them for some, I want this $2,000 limit on a credit card. I want your 0% interest. I want this car. I want this house. I as the individual, we collectively even need to be at the point where we can say, okay, we know what type of debt that we have. If we don't know what type of debt that we have, we can't even have a conversation about good and bad debt. We can't even begin to transform or turn a corner, if you will, to taking some of those bad debts and maybe asking God to help us turn those into good debts, or holding on to those good debts and giving us some grace and some mercy so they don't become bad debts. We can't even get to that point because there's that lack of understanding that's not there. So let's say now, okay, I know I have my house note. I know I have a house note. Okay, I know I have a car. How much I pay. That's another good point. It's not about how much you pay, it's how much you owe.
Right.
Somebody may have a $500 car payment. Just because they pay $450 before it's due, that doesn't get it. You got to deal with the exact numbers of what you actually owe to another person, to that particular creditor. And once you can put those things down on paper, then you can move forward. It's not about trying to hurry up and pay everything off. Because what about if that's something that you're not supposed to even be supposed to have in the first place, like we go back to the brother with the house? Maybe there needs to be a different strategy for that instead of just trying to put a plan together to just pay off all those debts in 5 years. Maybe it's, okay, Lord, I need to give this house up and start today. Or what about that car that a person probably may never have needed to get in the first place? So they get the car. They shouldn't have purchased the car because it really was too much for them because it was a 8-cylinder, and that means they needed 93-octane gas. And they're E2 in the Army or in the Air Force.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And they didn't put any money down. I hope I ain't stepping in on nobody.
Yeah.
So put all those things down. Now we understand, or we have a better understanding of what you're actually working with. So it takes somebody sometimes to get help to be able to differentiate between the debts and the bills, because there is a difference.
Right. There is a difference. And I think that goes back to understanding. Again, understanding. That is, I keep saying, like, foundational. It is foundational, but I know everybody doesn't start at the same point. But from that E1 and E2s, you know, in light of those in the military, you get the signs that say, oh, we military finance, you know, we'll finance military or whatever. So you have all of these signs saying, come, we'll help you get that, you know, 8-cylinder car, knowing that you can't afford it. But when you understand debt versus a bill, then you may, you know, say, maybe I'm not ready for an 8-cylinder. Maybe I need to get the, you know, the Chevy Cruze right now, or the, you know, the smart car or whatever. Something that you can work with so that when you have a car payment, you can also afford gas in your car and insurance on the car. But understanding debt versus a bill, that makes all the difference in how you approach your financial obligations. I'm going to say it that way. Even from the worldly side, I'm speaking strictly from the side of the, you know, the world, financial sector. That makes all the difference of how you approach those financial obligations. If you understand the difference between a debt and a bill. So.
You know, you can have cable, you can have a water bill, you can have an electric bill, you can have 2 or 3 cell phones. You can have internet service. We haven't even dealt with any debts yet.
Right.
We haven't even dealt with any debts yet. So then when we go on the other side, okay, a car loan, a house loan,
personal loan.
Those sometimes
loan.
Become personal loan, just credit work. Card. Credit card one, credit card two, payday loan.
Department store card, yeah.
Right. Then we can see how some of those things are constant, but those other things say, okay, how do you want to tackle this? I can't do anything about cable unless you got 2,000 channels and you're the only person to live in a house and you're working 70 hours a week. That may be a waste.
Right.
So sometimes it's not about tackling. Sometimes it's not about dealing with good debt and bad debt. Let's talk about debts and bills first and get everything put down on paper. And as we get everything put down on paper, let's see where, if you're having a financial problem, where can we go and try to cut out things? Not just start off, you know what, you got $10,000 in debt because you have a total of 8 credit type of accounts, whatever they are. So you pay off the top, pay off the smallest, the one with the highest interest rate first, and then you take that money. Look, I understand the snowball effect of paying off debts. I know it works, but you got to have money to be able to do it. If a person is struggling, then they're not going to be able to do that consistently. There has to be some type of change in their life for them to be able to do that consistent snowball effect of paying off debt. So before we even get there, maybe it's, let's look at your cable bill. Let's look at all of the stuff that you have on a cell phone. Do you need an iPhone 6? I don't even know if they got those. But do you even need one of those? Or can you get away with a flip phone? And I know somebody's in the background listening somewhere laughing at me. Can you get away with a flip phone? I can tell you, the brother who owns the barbershop that I go to, he's had a flip phone for forever. And he said the only thing I had to do on it is dial people's numbers and answer the phone. He ain't trying to play on the internet. He's not trying to do. I send him text messages. I used to until he said that he told me why he didn't respond. He don't do text messages. He just looked at them and that's it, because they would come up so crazy looking on his screen, because the screen only could put about 4 words per line. And I said, oh my goodness. But guess what he's not doing? He's not going and not able to pay his debts because he's trying to have a cell phone or internet service or Wi-Fi and all these other things that he doesn't need.
Right. So I think another way to put the debt versus the bill is needs versus wants. So what are your needs, your basic needs? And especially if for the person that's strapped, so to speak, financially, and then you're looking and you're saying, I don't have any money. You know, I'm paying bills. I'm working to pay bills. Well, sometimes the bills you have, it may be truly bills, but they're wanted bills and not needed bills. So you may have to cut some of those bills off that you don't need until you get a handle on the ones that you do need, and then you can go back.
That's
right.
But
if you look at it, you know, as, you know, what do I need? What do I absolutely have to have? You need water. You do need electricity. Mm-hmm. But do you need cable?
Right.
Even if you have the basic package, do you need cable? Maybe not so much. But if you have cable, can you get away with Netflix? Can you survive off of Netflix, which is much cheaper than cable? So just, you know, if you have that to spare, though, if you can afford, I don't know how much Netflix is, $12, maybe $20, as opposed to $80 or $100 a month for cable or satellite TV, whatever. If you start looking at the needs versus the wants, you can cut out the wants until you have a better handle on the needs, then that makes a big difference too. that's a, another way of looking at it.
That's good. That's good. Well, I don't think that in tonight's show that we are going to thoroughly get through all of the different characteristics between good debt and bad debt. But I do think that we have set a platform to be able to have people to think about, okay, what is it that I have? And I think just us, you know, just God giving us this thing about needs versus wants and debts versus, you know, debts versus bills, that sets some of the foundation for being able to better understand good debt versus bad debt. It may even take off some of the pressure that some people have with debt in general by now saying, you know what? I know I got my mama and my cousin and my auntie all on my phone plan, but that's all in my name. You know what? I know they're paying me $40 a month and they're good with it, but they may have to go to Walmart and get one of those track phones. You ain't traveling all around the United States where you need nationwide coverage. You live right in Warner Robins, Georgia. You work right in Warner Robins, Georgia. And you don't go no further outside of Georgia. You can go get a track phone. Something where you have to be responsible for going and paying a bill every month. Or you don't have service versus it being something on me. So this there can be where people are carrying debts because they're also carrying bills that they probably shouldn't have as well.
Very true.
So I'm gonna throw out I guess one thing between good debts and bad debts. So when you're looking at a bad debt has no potential to increase in value. And so by naturally, a good debt increases in value or it can create value. So what's an example? When I got my first loan and I went out and bought all that cross color gear that I told you all about before, there was no potential to increase in value with those clothes that I purchased. And I purchased it with money that I obtained through a loan because I was looking to build my credit. Right. Somebody said, hey, again, listening to folks, you need to, this is what you do. Go ahead and get you a loan and pay it off. Again, there was nothing wrong with that. But the debt that I carried, that $500 debt that I carried, that I was paying $40-something dollars a month for however many months until it was paid off, or $50 or whatever it was, what I purchased with that money, with that credit that they were giving me, had no increase in value. None. Zero. So the difference, or the point that should be made is, I should have done something a little bit smarter. If I wanted the cross colors, then why not save up the money and buy it that way? Or just buy it when I got paid. Because at the end of that payment period, I had nothing to show for it, except some clothes that I still don't have today and they didn't stay in style forever.
Okay.
But what I could have done is looked at, okay, items that increase or create value. And I try to think about it today. What could I have purchased back then that increased in value or could create value? I could have taken some of that money because I was using it to establish myself with credit. And I could have taken some of that money and opened up a mutual fund account.
Right.
I could have taken that money and put it towards some stocks. This was pre-TSP days as well, so it wasn't like, you know, I could have taken a whole bunch of money out of my had taken out of my check, and then used that loan money to kind of live off of because I was taking a tax-free benefit or tax-deferred benefit. But there were some things that I said, man, if I could have taken some of that money and put it somewhere where I could have taken some of that money and opened up an account for my child, which I didn't have a child at that time, but person could have done that. Purchase some savings bonds because that was one of the big things back during those days. But nobody told me the difference. They didn't tell me the difference between what I'm purchasing, what I'm getting this money for, being a good debt or a bad debt. They just said establish your credit. The other thing would be with bad debt, and I think this would be my last example, I guess. With a bad debt is when you buy something that goes down in value, that's considered a bad debt. But when you use purchases that are likely to increase in value, that's a good debt. So when I buy that car and I know that it is going to, that it's already not as valued because it's a used car, so it's already been depreciated already. And the longer that I keep it or however many years go by, and especially whatever the condition is, it's going down in value. It's not increasing. But if I take it and I buy an antique car, or I take it and I buy a car that I'm going to fix up, and it's not going to take a lot to fix up, and then I know if it's in good condition because I looked at the Blue Book value or the Kelley Blue Book value, I say, oh, this 1986 Plymouth Acclaim in good condition is $3,000, and I purchased it $4,000, and I got to put about $800 in it. Well, yeah, now I put some money into something that's going to increase in value. I may not get it back right now, but after I take care of putting some new tires on it, cleaning it up a little bit, now it has the potential to increase in value. And so if I took out a $1,000 loan to do that or a $1,500 loan to do that, I pay off that loan, and now I've made some money off of it. So this thing is not about just taking credit as credit is coming to us and then using that credit and then not having the consideration of what type of debt am I actually incurring. That's all I got, Shatar. I think we'll be on here for a whole lot longer if we try to run down the rest of this list, but I think it's going to push us into... It's going all to push right. us into right. next week because I think there's more people that need to hear it, and we know this is going to be the start of a new series. So I may start off next week and just hit on a little bit about the good debt and the bad debt. And there's a couple of two very important concepts that we're going to talk about next month. One is about being debt-free, and the other is about being debt-conscious. And some people may not have heard of debt conscious before, so that's going to be new here on the PRF table. So it's the first time that we've ever talked about debt conscious on the table. But this thing about being debt free is going to definitely be a hot topic. But we have to deal with good debt and bad debts before we can get into being debt free. So we're just going to flow with it through next month, and that's all I have. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think what you said was really good. I just want to just reiterate to everybody whether you're in financial straits or if even when you're okay, when you're doing okay or you feel comfortable financially, it is periodically recap, sit down, think about your debt, your credits, your bills from a godly perspective as well as the worldly perspective. And then ask yourself, or have, make a list, actually, not ask yourself, but make a list of your wants and your needs. So basically just reevaluate. Sit down and reevaluate your finances from a spiritual perspective as well as a worldly perspective. And ask God for you know, direction for what he wants you to do. What he wants you to do as far as your debts, you know, as well as your finances, because you may have savings, you may have some extra money coming, maybe you have a bonus coming, and you know, what does he want you to do with that bonus? Is that bonus for you to put away for any day, or do you get to buy those new Jordans coming out for $500, or do you bless your sister or brother with it who is struggling? Is it seed money for a business? You know, whatever, but every now and then, we all need to do some inventory, self-inventory. Sit down, you know, just take stock of, you know, what's going on financially. And you don't have to be a millionaire to do that. It's just it's good to know where you are, where your status is, and even if you are living hand to mouth, as my mother says, the saying that they use. If you look at your situation, if you look at, there may be something that you didn't think about, you know, off the top of your head that you can cut out that increases your or gives you some extra money. So just to reevaluate, take some time and reevaluate.
That's good. All right, y'all. Well, look, we are about to sign off for tonight. So we just want everybody to come back for our new series that we're going to start for the month of July, which is going to still be dealing in the area of credit and debt. For those who have been with us on the PRF table before and throughout the last couple of years, you know that just because we end on one Thursday doesn't mean that we won't pick it back up on the next Thursday. So this is really about getting out whatever information, whatever the Spirit of God wants us to get out to you who are listening, who take the time out of your schedules to be with us and listen to us on the archive show. Go to our Facebook page. So we've changed, for those who don't know, who haven't been to the table for a little while. So the Facebook page is no longer possessions.resources.finances. It is actually PRF Teaching Ministry, which is the official name of this ministry. And also our website is prfministry.org, prfministry.org. So, again, on behalf of all of us here at the PRF table, it's just been our pleasure just to have this conversation for you to be listening, and we just hope that God has spoken something to you through his word, through us, that has an effect on your life, that will have you looking at your debt situation, whatever it is, if it's not totally bad, if it is all the way bad, just taking a look at it, do that assessment that Shatara just talked about. And if you need some help, reach out to us. So all of our contact information is on our website. And we look forward to being with you next week. So until then, God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.